So today we're addressing the lesson to singles in Christ, but I have some people to thank before we start the lesson. It's been a while since I've been single. It's been 43 years. So most of this lesson is from singles in our church and a few singles outside of the church. They gave me a lot of great feedback, which I deeply appreciate, which allowed me to be able to write this lesson. So with that said, I'd like to thank Sherry Curtis, Camille Beasley, Angela Allen, Kendra Majors, Regina Hunt, Jackie Simmons, Jackie Humphreys, Kim Drawball, my sister, and Mark Roberts that sent me some material as well. It's been invaluable to help me with this lesson. Do what? Mark's not single, but he said, that's why I prefaced it with, he sent me some material. I prefaced it with that, and I've left him for the end. I love it. To those of you who are married, please don't tune out this lesson. There are some principles that all of us can learn, no matter what stage of life we're in. Listen with open minds and hearts and see how we can support the singles in our lives and in this church family. We need to realize that being single, divorced, or a widow is not easy in the world or in the church. Our objective is to help singles understand where they are in God's service and to bear up under singleness. The question then becomes, what does God say about singleness? We know marriage is a blessing from God. Woman was created to help meet to man. But what does it mean when it doesn't happen for you? Or what does it mean if it happens, but then you end up single again? Where does that leave you, and what is your purpose now? So people are single for many different reasons, some by choice, some haven't met that someone to spend the rest of their life with, or they met that someone and they weren't asked. They met and married someone, and then sinful actions from one or both parties led to being single again without the possibility of being married. They met and married someone, and then the death of a loved one led to being single again. Whatever the reason, it brings both challenges and temptations that are unique to the situation. The first thing to note is that it is not a sin to be single. If it was a sin, Jesus would have gotten married when he was here on earth, and he didn't. In fact, Paul, who was also single, even encouraged some to remain single due to the circumstances of their times. So 1 Corinthians 7:8. And if everybody has a handout, I wrote the scriptures out, so it'll be easier if you would like to contribute in reading. I'd appreciate that. We do have some material on the table over there if you'd like to get that might help you follow along. So 1 Corinthians 7:8, if someone would like to read that.
To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am.
Or singleness can be a possibility due to the circumstances of our own situation. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 7:11.
But if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife.
So, being single, what did these Bible characters have in common? Rahab, Mary Magdalene, Anna the prophetess, Jeremiah, Elijah, John the Baptist. What do they all have in common?
Singleness.
They were all single. They were all single and serving God. Let's look at a couple examples of singles serving God. Acts 21:9 says, it said he had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. Even though it was only seven word sentence, Luke wanted people to know that Philip, the evangelist, had four single daughters who prophesied. God did this to remind us that he uses women as well as men to share his word, whether you're married or single. Let's look at John 20:18. And if somebody would like to read that, John 20:18.
Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord and that he had said these things to her.
So Mary Magdalene was at Jesus' tomb. She was weeping for him, but Jesus came up to her and spoke to her. And he told her to go tell the disciples. He could just as easily have done that. But he told her, he used a single woman to go deliver a message to disciples to say in John 20:17, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. From this we see that these unmarried women were in God's service. We live in a singles boom that is unprecedented. At the beginning of the 20th century, 95% of the adult population of America was married. Most married in their teens. Divorce was unheard of, and if your mate died, you married again. By the end of the 20th century, about 45% of the population is single and having never married. People stay single longer these days. 1 in 4 adults never marry. There are singles everywhere, including right here at Westside. We have singles who have never married, who married and divorced, or who are widowed. Being single, you might ask, what is God's will for me? Can I be a complete Christian without a spouse? Do I have to get married? If you want to be married and you can't seem to find the right one, you wonder why. So again, let's look at what God's will is for singles. In the Old Testament, getting married and having children was considered mandatory. In Israelite culture, there wasn't much room for singles. It's interesting that God used singles like Rahab, Mary Magdalene, Anna, those that we've mentioned, in spreading his word. No, God did care for and honor singles in the Bible. We see that from these examples. And he used them to spread his word. Let's look at Isaiah 56:4-5 and see again how God cared for singles. If somebody would like to read that, Isaiah 56:4-5.
For thus say the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument in a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off.
So what a blessing to see that. By New Testament times, there was not much room among the Jews for singles. Into the world entered the most incredible single of all, Jesus Christ. So let's see what Jesus says important and look at Luke 14:26-27. Luke 14:26-27. Does somebody like to read? So what is Jesus saying here? What's he asking?
To put God before
everybody else. But also, doing that, will you be my disciple? Will you be my disciple? So from this we see you can serve God and be pleasing in his sight regardless of your marital status. Jesus calls us to be in a relationship with him. And you're fine just as you are, Jesus' disciple. Let's look at the temptation of sexual immorality. God has placed boundaries around the sexual relationship because he knows what is best for us. The marriage bed is to remain undefiled. Let's look at Hebrews 13:4. Hebrews 13:4. If somebody would like to read. So from this we see you must stay away from anything that tempts you into giving into the culture around you, because the culture around us is very much you can have sex before you get married, live with them, let's see if it fits for us, and let's move on if it doesn't. So the culture, this word is warning us against the culture around us. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. So even if you remain celibate for the rest of your life, God has called you to remain pure. This may even put you in a unique position to talk to others about the boundaries God has placed around the sexual relationship and how we are his creation and should stay within those boundaries that he has placed for our safety. Let's read Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1, if someone would like to read.
I appeal to you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship.
And then Titus 2:6. Go ahead, Melinda.
Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled.
So this Bible verse reminds us that remaining self-controlled is something that needs encouragement. One of the hardest parts of being single is to master that self-control. Because of our fleshly desires, it is easy to want to give in and do what pleases our body, but also bring that closeness to someone. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." We talk about the temptation to fornication for our teens, but in some ways, this temptation may be even greater for adult singles. Because there is a freedom to being single, but that freedom must not become a position for temptation of sexual immorality. So, what are some ways we can ensure we remain sexually pure? Sherry?
Be careful with what you read and what you watch.
Oh, that's good. Be careful with what you read and what you watch. Anything else?
Determine ahead of time rules. Do not be allow yourself to be alone with a person of the opposite sex. I mean, just set up guidelines that you will not break.
Right. Set up guidelines that you will not break. Determine those guidelines. And I'd add to that, communicate them to the other person. Anything else? I added, find an accountability partner that you can talk with, that you can ask them to pray for you. And then I also have, be in His Word in prayer. And that was from a couple of the singles. You know, pray. Be in His Word daily, because that will strengthen you and encourage you, because you're with God. Next, let's look at the temptation of self-centeredness and selfishness. Marriage is by nature, in demand, an other-centered relationship. It calls one out of self to learn how to please another and how to share. We must learn to give up self in many ways, but realize marriage requires a sacrifice, just like being single requires a sacrifice. They're different sacrifices. We are all called to get out of self and give up self for others, whether we're single or whether we are married. Will someone read Luke 9:23? Luke 9:23.
And He said to all, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me."
So when you're single and out on your own, you have to take care of all things in your life. In your household, cleaning, cooking, finances. When you're married, you get to share those responsibilities with someone. So it adds another burden when it's just you. You constantly have to think of yourself because you're responsible for everything in your decisions. You make the choices for your own life, and you don't have to answer to anybody else to it except for God. And this can lead to forgetting to think of others and serving others. If someone will read 1 Timothy 5:5-6. 1 Timothy 5:5-6.
She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayer night and day.
So again, we see strengthening yourself is through prayer and supplications and being in God's Word night and day. So when you have that temptation to be selfish, you always want to think about your walk with God. So let's list some ways that we can motivate ourselves. And this can be whether you're single or married. So, motivation. And hopefully I spell it right. What are some ways we can motivate ourselves?
First, just be aware of that problem and look for ways to serve.
Okay. The pen didn't write and I messed it up. Be aware of the problem. That's very good. What else?
I think along with what Sherry said is to be aware is it's just to look for it, right? It's like don't be so caught up in your own self. Yeah,
Maybe look for opportunities.
Look for opportunities, yes.
A conscious effort.
How do you spell opportunities? There you go. Spelling is not my strong suit. I love spell check. The modern day conveniences kind of spoil us. What else?
I think every day you have to ask yourself, how can I be a blessing to somebody else?
I love that. How can I be a blessing to someone else? Anything else?
I'm a big writer in my planner,
mm-hmm.
and I have to make myself, like, just as I plan, you know, grocery store, work stuff, I have to say, you know, reach out to so-and-so,
mm-hmm.
check on so-and-so. I have to build it into my daily schedule to keep myself from, because it's one of the easiest things, unfortunately, to fall off my mental list if I don't.
I love that. Build it into your schedule. And that's huge, because I think we all have a tendency to get, I know when I sit down at my desk to work, I'm there. And if I don't get up and get out of that self, whether it's, even if it's for work, you still just tend to focus on that. And that's not good. You know, that's not good physically, and it's not good mentally to just do that. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
There was a lady who lived across the street from me, and she was a minister of some sort, but she wrote a card to me one time because I watched her dog, and it said, and I don't know why this thought confused me, but it said, be blessed and be a blessing.
Be blessed and be a blessing?
Yes.
Okay.
So if I'm blessed and I'm counting my blessings, then I can be a blessing to someone else.
I love that.
So we have to look for our blessings to bless others.
I love that. Look for your blessings to bless others so you can bless others.
I think sometimes it can also be as simple as just being kind to anyone you encounter. One of the things I try to do, because I get so busy sometimes, I will make sure that I always really over tip for everything. Sometimes I'll give, you know, money to someone who comes up to your car window or mm-hmm. outside the 7-Eleven, just little things like that as well.
Right. You know, when I was going to Starbucks, you know, it was really nice when you drove up to that window and they said, you've been paid for.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know that person, but that kindness changed your whole attitude and your whole day. You know, so that's very good. Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
Be aware of your talents that you can actually use to do stuff in the church.
Be aware of your talents to use in the church and outside the church. That's very good. Great comments. Anything else?
Little things, you might have an opportunity to do something really big. But little things matter, too.
Little things matter. And I think those little things, and that goes for both of these, little things matter because, you know, I used to tell my boss at work, you know, I don't need anything other than a thank you. The appreciation just goes a long way, you know. The recognition that you are doing the best that you can do is huge. Yes, ma'am? Yeah, that's great. Kids are good at that. Yes, all very good. You know, and yes, ma'am.
I think, like all of you, the elders' wives, being the examples that you are, it motivates us.
Oh, thank you.
Because being surrounded by women of the faith also gives you like, oh, she can do it, I can do it. If I can't do it, she can help me do it, so on and so forth. But
that's great. Being an example in Christ, whether you're an elder's wife, whether you're single, whether you're married. You know, I know I get a lot of motivation from the singles because, you know, they're coming here and they're doing it by themselves. You know, and for me, that does not go unrecognized because I know like when Ted's sick, it's like, oh, I gotta go by myself. You know, and that's hard. I know that's a challenge. And, you know, you hear even like the elderly coming in all their elements is such an encouragement to those around us. Great comments. I love it. So a couple of things that I got from some of the ladies that sent some stuff in to me was also rather than agonize over things yourself, to be motivated, be with friends. You know, text these friends. Support, get that support that you may need to get that motivation. Because when you have that someone that you can text, it makes a difference. It's kind of like working out. You know, if you have to go by yourself, you don't want to go. But if you know you're going to meet somebody there, you know, you're more motivated to go. And it applies to every area of our life. So thought-provoking questions, and really some of the answers that we have up here, to think about how are you allowing others to motivate you? Because it's a two-way street. You know, you can motivate others, but are we letting them in to motivate us? Are we letting them in to care for us? And that's the other thing. You know, it's very easy to say, no, I got this, and I don't need anything. But, you know, when you need it, speak up. You know, speak up, especially when it's offered. But again, that goes back to the gratitude lesson that Melinda did and the comment that was made. When they say no, don't ask them, can I do anything for you? Tell them, I'm going to be over there on this day bringing you a meal. I'm going to be over there on this day to do this for you. You know, and most of the time when you say it that way, kindly, not as a parent, kindly, they will accept that. They will accept that. All right, now let's look at bitterness, feelings of inadequacy, and understanding that everybody is waiting for something. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. If someone will read that, Isaiah 40, 29 through 31.
He gives him an hour to the pain, and to him who has might, he increased his strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
This scripture urges us to wait on the Lord. This word was given to those who would wait in captivity, wait for the opportunity to go home. For Judean captives, it would be a 70-year wait in Babylon. That was a pretty long wait. But since then, this text has become a comfort and consolation to people who find themselves in different types of circumstances that involve waiting. So, again, you are not alone. It can be very easy to become bitter in your situation, and sadly even with God, especially if a godly spouse is something you have prayed for. You start asking why you can't find someone. However, you must remember how God answered Job when he asked why in Job 24, 4 through 7. God may very well be saving you from heartache or worse, sin, by answering your prayer with a no or a wait. He also may know of things in the future that will require you to be single to serve someone else. It is easy, especially in the church, to feel inadequate when you aren't married and don't have kids. However, remember that Christ died for everyone. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made with gifts that God wants us to use. Let's read Psalms 139:14. Someone will read Psalms 139:14.
Fearful and wonderful made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well.
So this is such an encouraging verse. Because if we can remember when we're down, when we're bitter, when we're tempted, remember this verse, Psalms 139:14. Psalms have such great things to memorize or to make note of and put up in front of you. So no matter our status in life, you need to remember we are all gifts, and we need to choose to use those gifts. We all have gifts, and we need to choose to use those gifts. Romans 12:6 says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, and let us use them. So let's list some ways that we can use our gifts to serve others. I'm almost running out of board. Ways to serve others. Okay, that one's not good. What are some ways we can serve others? And ways to serve our singles. I want to add that in there too. Ways to serve others, keeping our singles in mind. Sherry?
Teach a Bible class.
I love that. Teach a Bible class. Somebody over there who was going to say something?
Pray.
Prayer.
Along with the teach a Bible class, and somebody had mentioned this and I've not ever thought about it, invite someone, if you teach and feel comfortable, invite someone to be in with you. If they're hesitant about wanting to teach, then you can help them learn. Hey, yeah, you can do this. It's good. And ways that have helped you. So I'm not even sure who said that a while back, but just to invite somebody. I think that's a great thing to do.
Can't write.
You know, we have the option of, being a helper, right? Mm-hmm. So just, you don't actually have to teach. You can be in there and be the helper. And then I'm sure a lot of people that were helpers before are now teachers, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's a great opportunity.
I know someone that was hesitant to teach. And she got in there to teach, Kendra. She got in there to teach, and she loved it.
I do, absolutely.
She loved it.
As singles, don't be afraid because you don't have kids or turn off that you can't get in there and make a difference. And seeing those kids smile and excited to see you has been life-changing.
Awesome. See, that's so encouraging. Hilda?
One thing my mom used to do a lot because she was a widow was find ways to go and talk to people, whether it was a neighbor or someone she knew.
So I love that, but I'm going to take that a step further. What about in the church? You know, do you sit in your little section and stay there? Because now I'm not only thinking of just the singles, I'm thinking of the elderly. You know, they love for you to walk up and just acknowledge them and that they're here, because a lot of them struggle to get here. And they're doing it because they love the Lord, but they love us. And we need to show that love back. But that applies to our singles too. As I stated earlier, it's difficult sometimes to come by yourself. And they are doing that. And they need to know that we recognize them and the example they're setting for us by being here as well. Anything else on ways to help? Yes, ma'am?
I would say, for me, sometimes it's awkward to meet, especially if there's a single man visiting. So if you're married, if you could grab a single woman to go meet them with you, it doesn't make it awkward. And,
partner.
I don't know if anybody really, but especially him.
Partner with the single. How's that? That's good, Sherry. I like that. Okay. Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
What you can do is try to be empathetic. Sometimes we as married have a hard time remembering what it was like in the single life, but try to be empathetic and remember, how different people, whether it be the widows or the singles, or be empathetic of other people's situations so that you can help them when they come to you or need something.
Oh, I love that. Be empathetic of other situations. Thank you. And yes, I hope y'all can read my writing. It's terrible. Ted tells me that all the time. Yes, ma'am.
Well, one of the things where I attend that we've started doing, of course, our congregation is a lot smaller than you guys, but we started a group, a Bible study for young women once a month. And Laura, she's in my class. But that has truly been life-changing as far as our little girls are concerned. We have young Marys, We also have some singles, and for us to be able to share that, we get together once a month, and we have grown closer to the Lord through each of them have special gifts they're able to share in a whole different environment than what we, you know, than what you do at like a regular class. But our singles have learned from our marrieds, and I would venture to say vice versa.
Of course.
And they've been able to serve. I give them challenges, and it's that has been huge as far as our group is concerned where we attend.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I'd venture to say, especially in doing this lesson, I've learned a lot from our singles. Again, I appreciate all of y'all's input. It's been wonderful.
One thing that's been helpful to me, I live further from church, and I'm sort of reclusive. I do a Bible study on Monday nights, and we do a video conference, Beverly and a couple other people, and that is a real encouragement to me, and it helps with, you know, loneliness as well.
In person?
No, we do it online.
No, I'm adding in person or online. Yeah. And I didn't put study in here. Yeah, that's great. Good.
Additionally, there's the Zoom class on Tuesday.
Right. So y'all are getting into one of my other points eventually. So this is going to be, no, that's perfectly all right. So we will go over this again. It'll sink in better. Because yes, all this is right. You know that it's, I know I do the Bible app where you read and then you comment at the end of it with some other ladies. And, you know, you get so much other insight that you may have missed when you're reading that. But it's edifying. It's totally edifying. Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
Something simple too is just being inviting one of the single people to lunch after church.
Yeah. Yep. One of my dear friends, some of you may remember Jonna Denton. She's been single all of her life, and she went to lunch with us every Sunday. You know, and it's you get the best of both worlds when you do that, when you're diverse like that. Okay. Anything else before I go? Okay. So let's look at loneliness and envy. Sometimes we get focused on ourselves, what we don't have, thinking I've been praying and praying about this and I'm still single, that we begin to act as if we're the only ones in the world with troubles. Remember, everybody has dreams and everybody has desires. Life gets in the way of those dreams and desires to the point that they may not even be realized. When this happens, we turn to God in prayer, and then we wait on the Lord. While we wait, we find support from other Christians in like circumstances. Loneliness can tempt you to settle for something less than what is good for you and your relationship with God. This can be especially hard during the holidays or stressful life events. However, remember that we are never alone as long as we have Jesus. And we're never alone as Jesus was on the cross. Matthew 27:46 is Jesus' last words. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is my God, why have you forsaken me? That's truly loneliness. God is always there for us, even if we choose to move away from him. He is always waiting with open arms to be there for us when we choose to repent and return to him. He has given us the Holy Spirit to help everyone married or single through prayer. Let's read Romans 8:26-27. And someone would like to read Romans 8:26-27.
Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words.
How comforting is that to know that when we are lonely, when we are agonizing, if we can reach out in prayer, he's there for us to comfort us. We see God is with us through his word in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. If somebody will read that.
All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
It is very easy to look at others whose lives are blessed with families and envy that, and even become covetous. This is especially difficult when you are young and all of your friends and peers are getting married and having children. Mark 7:21 through 23 says, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." So we must remember when we're starting to feel those things, this verse. And then we turn to God's word. But let's look at Luke 12:15. "And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And we could even say relationships. This verse, though, here is talking about possessions, but it can easily be applied to relationships. Choose to be happy for others and celebrate their blessings with them. Singles, something to think about. And what are you doing to support your singles and support our singles here at Westside in their walk with Christ? But again, singles, how are you allowing others to help you in your walk of life? Don't be tempted to say I'm good because you don't want to impose. Again, we want to help. So we have just a few minutes and one more question, and then we'll have to close for the day. So what are some ways, we've kind of answered it all up here, but we can go some more if we got some. What are some ways we can help singles? But I'd also like to challenge singles, what are some ways that you can combat help loneliness? Camille mentioned here, and I think some of the feedback she gave me too, was be in prayer more. Be in his word more. Do those Bible studies with people. And to do that, you have to make time. And again, like Camille also pointed out, you have to prioritize that. Anything else?
Sorry.
No, that is perfectly all right.
I have three kids in my life that I love very much, and it's because their parents allowed me to be a part of that.
Find some way. Say that again, Sherry.
Find some way. Find someone who will let you be a part of their children's lives.
Find someone who will let you be a part of their children's lives.
Sometimes is to do for their kids. So that's a way to do for someone else too. And I think we forget things like that.
Well, and I agree, that's great. Do for other people's kids. But to be able to do that, you've got to allow the single to be a part of your lives. You know, because some people, if they don't have the right attitude, can think, well, I can do that for my kids. I don't need them. You know, but we can't do that. Let them be a part of your lives. And again, include them in things. Anything else?
Just on the matter of allowing people, think in terms of, if you always say, well, I'm good, you may be the person that's always doing for others. But think in terms of when you accept or when you ask for help, you're allowing someone else that opportunity to do something good, to be a help, to help get out of themselves. If we all say I'm good all the time, then who are we going to help?
Yep.
So just be willing to accept that and know we all need help at some time, and we really need to be willing to accept that.
Be willing to accept help from others. And you know, I'd add to that too, that in accepting that help, you're helping that person grow in God too, when you do that. Thank you so much, ladies. Great comments. And we are continuing the lesson on Wednesday night as well. About what? Oh, yeah. We have a question box over here on the table with little strips of paper. And if y'all ever have any, if y'all have any questions about the class, past, present, and future, go ahead and write them on that, and we'll have a class to answer those if we have enough questions input in the box. So any questions, answers, we'll get answers. We'll try to get answers. Let me qualify that.